Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
I just can't. Today on Daily Pop, Kim Kardashian breaks down over her divorce and admits she feels like a failure. Dating expert Monique Kelly is here with us.
Woo!
So let's get this little party started.
Yes.
Okay, are you guys ready? We never see Kim Kardashian open up about her relationship with Kanye West, but last night on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, it got real.
How are you and Kanye doing?
There's no fighting. Like now, it's like all calm. Right. So I just roll with it, you know?
Kim is dealing with so much right now, and it's tough because before we left, her and Kanye had this big fight.
I think he deserves someone that can go support his every move and go follow him all over the place and move to Wyoming. I can't do that. He should have a wife that supports his every move and travels with him and does everything, and I can't. I feel like a failure, that it's like a third marriage. Yeah, I feel like a loser. But I can't even think about that. Like, I
want to
be happy.
You know, it's so crazy when you see the strongest of your siblings break down, you forget how uncomfortable you get. Mm-hmm. Like, Courtney is looking at everything, trying to figure out where to put her eyes, because you just never see Kim really go there, especially about Kanye, right? Because there's always that one sibling that acts like everything's perfect. We're good. You know what I mean? We're good. So it's just interesting to see Courtney, who's like everybody else.
Yeah, that's so true. And I feel like Kim is really hard on herself. Her first marriage, she was 19 years old, okay? The second marriage was the lesson. And this marriage, I feel like she really tried. And it has to be so hard having to do this in the public eye, but I think it's so important that she's not so hard on herself and that she remains open to love until you get it right.
Yeah, but you know, Kim Kardashian, I love her to death, but a lot of her life is built on what the public perceives of her. Yeah. So when you're a Kardashian, every move you make, you think, what are people going to say now? What's the headline going to be? And I'm gonna take it even a step further. When you're married to somebody with mental health issues, your fear is, are people gonna think I'm a bad person because I'm not sticking by this person during this breakdown? When a lot of times I've had friends in relationships with people who have mental issues, and when your husband or your wife doesn't want to admit or doesn't want to help themselves, I feel like you kind of sort of get a pass to be like, all right, I can eject out of this because this is not healthy for you, I, or the children.
Right, and I think the children is what, to me, immediately comes first, right? Like, she's got to protect herself and be in a good place because she has to take care of those kids. And I do think when you give someone opportunity to take care of themselves, to get better, and they don't, or they choose a different path than what you're asking from them, I don't think that you're a failure. I think that you're choosing your happiness and your children's happiness and their future over what could potentially be disastrous for your family. And I also think divorce is not a failure. Like, I
hate
when we put that narrative out there. Like, divorce is making a choice. It's not a failure. I think we need to destigmatize the idea of divorce being a failure.
I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I agree with you that divorce is not a failure. But if you've been divorced 3 times, do you feel like you would get to the place where you're like, all right, obviously there's something wrong with moi or the way I choose men?
I see your point, and I thought about this. I think divorce is not a failure. if you are not repeating the same mistake, relationship after relationship. If you see a pattern and you're making the same mistakes from marriage one to marriage two to three, and then you're finding yourself doing it again at four, then I think, okay, you have failed yourself because you're not growing, you're not elevating, you're not growing in your own emotional intelligence.
And so, also, too, you have to have self-reflection. If you continuously keep getting divorced and you don't look at yourself at a certain point and see, okay, what role am I playing? Because I'm the common denominator in each marriage. You got to do self-reflection. But what I think is so important is that people do not think, okay, I've been married three times, I shouldn't do it again, I shouldn't remain open for love. Stay open, work on yourself, and look at those red flags in yourself and in others.
But isn't that why we love Halle Berry?
That's what I love Halle Berry.
We love Halle Berry because Halle Berry is unafraid to love again, despite... No, wait, what did you think
of? Halle Berry, I love Halle Berry. Halle Berry picks the wrong men every time. And I think it's the way, and I'm the same way, it's the way we grew up. It's the what we saw in our own homes. It's the things that we experience that really lead to us picking those kinds of men. Yeah. And a lot of times, women who get in that pattern have a hard time getting out of it because they aren't self-reflective and saying, this is why I keep on doing this. I hope that Halle, you know, has done it with Van Hunt.
I think she has. I'm loving those two together.
I love them too. But do you think, because I think this is the other issue that we're talking about, do you think it's possible for two people that are as successful and as high profile as Kim and Kanye to be in a successful marriage long term?
I truly believe that it's possible. I think whenever things happen and a relationship's evolved and your path is taking you left and your husband's path is taking you right, if you are both on the same page and cool with, hey, you're going to Wyoming to do this and I'm going to stay in Los Angeles and do that, if you two are both on the same page and you're cool about it knowing that those paths are going to converge again, that's fine. But if you're looking for somebody who's going to stop, drop, and roll and move with you to Wyoming, but I have a brand, 17 employees, and countless other interest happening here and I can't do that, if you can't accept that, then it's a problem.
Yeah.
I think that I saw the crack in this marriage right around that right over here. Remember when they went to that Met Gala?
Yes.
And she went off on his ass and was just because you're on that path and on your Jesus thing and I'm not there doesn't make me a bad person. That's when I was like, haha.
That was it.
It's happening. This is where you became somebody different and he can't accept that.
By the way, he was also complicit in creating who Kim was. Like, if you remember, like, he created the Kim Kardashian that he then decided was too sexy for his new version of Kanye.
Like when someone flips the script and does a 180 in the middle of a marriage, in the middle of a relationship, what are you supposed to do? And then they don't want to come back? I mean, even before they got married, when they were just friends, he was fine with it. So now you want to flip what you've created and have her fit in this box? Not okay.
You're so right. That was the moment.
That was.
We saw that play out.
Oh, and she ain't afraid? Oh, look, and she ain't afraid to tell her sister?
You heard her.
Right, that's what it's around.
When she spoke to him that way, I was like, oh, and in front of other people. Because remember, there were other people in the room. That was not a private conversation.
But hold on. And let the cameras capture it and let it get in the show.
Justin, you called it.
Speaking of getting in the shows, production has shut down on Mission Impossible 7 after someone on the set tested positive for COVID. And you know Tom Cruise must be pissed. Remember back in December when Tom ripped his crew a new one for violating safety protocols? Well, here's a quick reminder if you forgot about that rant.
I'm on the phone with every studio at night. And they're looking at us to make their movies. We are creating thousands of jobs,
Now, that was leaked by The Sun later last year in December.
I remember.
If you're the person who tested positive for COVID, are you telling Tom or are you just changing your whole identity and
I'm scared for that person. Like, they need to hide. And immediately,
I'm on a different continent by the time you get the news. I don't want to be anywhere near Tom Cruise when this happened. I'm sorry. No, thank you.
Guess what, y'all? I don't know who Dr. HIPAA was. I don't know how the HIPAA law came. But whoever that man was, thank you to this man. Because I would be reminding everybody that Dr. HIPAA made this law in 1896. And y'all can't tell none of my goddamn business. Okay? Look, I will HIPAA law
anything.
By the way, I will call call HIPAA law on, like, if I get arrested, I'll be like, HIPAA law. I don't even know how to spell it. I just know. That's the beauty of, like,
when that form comes out of the doctor's office, I'm like, where do I sign? Where do I sign this? Give it to
100%.
Me.
100%. I'm with you on that.
Protect all your rights.
You ain't gonna know to nothing.
By the way, this is the new MI8 plot. It's Tom looking for the guy who got COVID on the set of MI7, and it's going to break
records. I actually kind of like that.
It was
That's
great.
Actually genius, okay? No, that's gonna be a good movie.
You just never want to be that person. Like, I have a friend who was planning a wedding, and same thing. Like, somebody in the wedding party ended up violating, like, the bubble, you know, because everyone agrees to be in a bubble, like, a month before the wedding. Somebody decided to get their hoe on. And it wasn't Justin, I promise. I would call him out if it was. And sure enough, got COVID, gave it to several people in the bubble, and they had to postpone their wedding.
She couldn't get her hoe on in the bubble?
No, I think that's already happened. So you needed to leave the bubble.
Oh, yes.
And that's what happened. There's always somebody, and they were so pissed. And we're talking about, like, you know, like a little small cheap wedding. Can you imagine shutting down the entire set of MI7?
You
like
know
the
what?
Cost of something like that?
On that note, shout out to the in the bubble. Still ahead is Angelina Jolie's birthday, and we are celebrating, plus the star who came face to face with Beyonce, then totally blew it. That's coming up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
46 years ago today, the world got a little more interesting because Angelina Jolie was born. Liliana is helping us celebrate.
Is it your birthday today?
I was yesterday.
Actually, it's today. But when you're this busy, who can keep track? Let's talk about Angelina Jolie for a second. The woman who taught us to swing from the chandeliers.
Hello, ladies. Always was a sucker for a redhead.
She's one of the top A-list actresses of our time, and we're not just talking alphabetically.
Take one step and I'll jam this in my aorta.
Lisa, your aorta is in your chest.
Good to know.
Hey girl, didn't mean to interrupt, but did you know this year marks the 21st anniversary of Angelina's Oscar win?
I'm in shock, and I'm so in love with my brother right now.
Where she got a face full of support from her brother James Haven. So obviously we are obsessed with her personal life.
You have an unusual problem, Jane. You obviously want me dead.
But let's not get into that. Instead, let us introduce you to the Angelina Jolie Starter Pack. First, you need a vial of blood for love, an assortment of bugs for dinner.
Crickets in a beer. And then you kind of, you know, move up to tarantulas.
Horns for fashion.
Well, well.
And a lifetime membership to the Marvel Universe.
When you love something, you fight for it.
So happy birthday, Angie. We're inspired by your commitment to your kids and your work to better humanity. And I promise, we're not just saying that because you could potentially kick our ass.
Time to save the universe?
Absolutely.
Oh, there is not a badder woman in the world than Angelina Jolie.
I agree. She's classic. She's timeless.
And
she's everything.
Just everything.
Well, I want to start off today with a little pop of love. Elizabeth Hurley and Hugh Grant split 21 years ago, but they're still really close. How does that work? Well, Elizabeth revealed her secret on the People in the 90s podcast.
I'm still extremely good friends with Hugh. You know, we went through so much together, but I've been thinking, I think one of the most important things to keep good relations with your exes is to have a lot of respect for their current life. We haven't been romantically involved for 20 years, I don't think, even though, you know, we have such a strong friendship. But we're always very aware that there are other people in our lives. You know, there's partners, there's children. There's a, you know, you can't just sort of live in a lovely rosy mist of the past.
I mean, was she using her one call from jail? Like, that sounded like she was in a in a torture chamber.
Thinking, you have a great podcast. Nobody on your podcast ever sounds like they're in a torture chamber.
Are you calling from a Nokia flip phone in the middle of a
bunker? She was calling from the 90s,
clearly. Clearly an ex was behind her saying, you better say we're good friends. You better say we're good friends.
Oh, 100%. Now, Elizabeth Hurley is flawless. Mm-hmm. Hugh Grant has moved on, has a wife, has a family. How could you let your man be this close to someone that he's dated? Mm-hmm. I actually think I could do it. Because let me just say something.
Okay.
21 years ago, Elizabeth Hurley, she already, you know, beat Legends of the Hidden Temple. She knows where the things are gonna pop out. She knows he's crazy. So sometimes it's good to have somebody in your corner to be like, girl, I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. He did it to me too. So you don't feel crazy. Am I wrong?
I don't know. Moni, you know. I mean, is it hard? I think for me, it would be hard for my husband to be friends.
Because you're Latin.
Well, you know what?
Or insecure, which is fine. I'll take both.
No, I don't think it's insecure.
Yeah, I agree. I think like the Mexican Puerto Rican in me just is like, why are you friends with her? Why do you need female? Why do you need female friends that look like that? Like, I don't have male friends that look like him.
Well, let me tell you something.
I don't.
Like, I love to tell women, you never let another woman see your insecurity, right? You never, even if you're thinking it, you call your girls. But at the end of the day, they are really legitimate friends. And she said something very important. She's respectful of his current relationship.
Yeah.
Now, you know when your man is friends with an ex and that ex is inappropriate and she wants more than a friendship.
Oh, you
know,
though.
As women, we know it.
I can smell you,
feel it, and we, I see you.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And you ain't flip.
Oh, no, no. Oh, you looked at him funny.
Right.
I'm going to stab you. You
Or at dinner, or we're at dinner at a party, and there's like a touch. I'm like, why are you touching? Why are you touching him?
As a woman, we know the difference. We know a legitimate friend.
It's like, oh, hey, how are you? Or like a graze. Don't fucking graze my man's shoulder.
See?
Don't graze.
Okay, she
ready to bite.
You gotta take these hoops out. You don't want these hoops to come out.
While Liliana cools off, I have another question to ask you guys. Do you ever peek in someone's refrigerator and immediately judge them? Well, one chef tells Refinery29 it's the best form of a background check. She even admits her girlfriends have a group chat where they'll sneak the pictures of their dates' refrigerators to analyze them all. First off, sis, why are you stopping at the refrigerator? The real info is in the medicine cabinet.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew you were going to say that. I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, turn the water on, open the medicine cabinet. Picture.
The medicine cabinet tells you everything you need to know.
Forget that HIPAA law.
I was going to say, you're violating your own laws.
Do you go and look in people's refrigerators? Because it's the first thing I do.
It's been a really long time since I've dated, so no, but I would, and I definitely am a little bit judgmental. Like, do you have great value cola versus Coke? Because if you've got great value, like, I mean, I have nothing against generic brands, but that does say something about...
All I could think of is that, you know, earlier this week, Liliana said that her friends date people in order to get a place to
live. I was here that day.
So I think it'd be really important for Liliana's friends, quote unquote, my friends used to date people to live somewhere. So I bet you Liliana's friends go straight to the refrigerator to make sure there's enough food for them as well.
Well, see, you know what? I've talked about this on this show. I start at the grocery store. The grocery store is where I start because you can tell based on a man's basket. If he has a big old cart full of stuff and a list, you know he's probably with someone. If he has a little basket with some beer and, you know, some protein bars, you know he's single. Then when you go to the house and you look in the fridge, to your point, does he have wine? Does he eat healthy?
Right.
Is his stuff looking moldy? Is the inside of the fridge nasty? Does it look like it hasn't been cleaned in a while? I look at
that. Is that a deal breaker for you?
This is how you do it.
Oh.
You go to a restaurant with a dude. First and foremost, the way they treat the waitress is the most telling.
Very.
The second thing is you tell the hostess, hey, can you tell us it's going to be about 20 or 30 minutes and hold the table? Because if that person turns all the way up, it's time to leave. But if they slip the hostess like $30 and says, hey, you know what, can we just like, that's what you know.
I love that.
The real key, the piece de resistance of it all at a restaurant is when the bill comes. If that man doesn't even open the bill and just puts that credit card, bitch, you better marry. Okay?
I kind of agree.
I'm kind of with Justin.
If someone is studying a check, like they're trying to memorize lines for like some Academy Award winning performance, you're like, why are you reviewing all of the chart? Like, it's fine. No one's trying to scam you out of $7.99. You know? I agree. I think slip the credit card in, take the check away.
I'm with y'all on that.
I know a man who slips it right in. And I mean the credit card. And I mean the credit card.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery. Dancing on the edge, about to take it too far. Messing with my head, how I mess with your heart. If you wake up in your bed, alone in the dark, don't separate. Gotta leave before you love me. Daily Pop is back, and Joe Jonas just stepped into the group chat.
Hey, I'm great. Good to see you both. How are you?
We are really good.
We're really good.
I am super excited.
It's Friday.
Yeah, Joe, prepare yourself. Justin is in a mood today.
You know why I'm in a mood?
So am I.
I'm in a mood because the Joe Bros are going on tour, and I hate to say this, I am on the wait list for tickets. I cannot wait. What are you most excited about to get back on the road with your brothers?
Oh, I'm sorry to hear on the wait list, but I think I know somebody that can help you with the ticket problem. I'm so excited. I mean, you just literally kicked it off with our new song, Leave Before You Love Me. So I can't wait to play that on stage. You know, these fans have been reacting to this song so well. And just to get back there on a stage in general, it's been over a year and a half. And I think for all of us after the crazy and sad year we've had, to be able to see some sort of light at the end of the tunnel, at least here in the States. And I'm excited to hit a stage again and see familiar faces. So hopefully you'll be there and you can get off the wait list.
Oh, I told Glenn. I told Glenn Powell. I was like, the one thing I want for my birthday this year is tickets to the Jonas Brothers.
Keep him on the wait list, Joe.
I'm not going to Top Gun. I'm going to the Jonas Brothers show.
Yes. I love that.
We'll go see Top Gun before the show. How's that?
Done.
Sound?
I'm in. Get that on camera.
We recorded that. Now, I think you brought up such a good point. I think everyone is ready to get back to work in a different way. You're going on tour. I read that Sophie just signed on to do a new show with HBO Max called The Staircase.
I can't believe.
Cannot wait for this. How are you guys balancing life together? Because I know she's been out on the road with you. It's like, it's a family affair when it comes to the Jonas Brothers. So how do you guys balance that?
Well, you know, it's definitely a new experience now that we are all kind of back. I mean, I'm going on tour. She's starting a project. So it's going to be a lot of flying back and forth on days off for me, at least. But I'm excited. I mean, I haven't traveled in a long time. I haven't been on the road in a while. So just to get back out there and do stuff and feel safe, that's what it's all about. So we'll figure it out. I'm here right now sitting her where she's staying, and so it's kind of a new territory. You get to experience a new city all the time, which is, I don't mind.
So you know, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. I don't want to make it odd for us, but you know, I am a single gay man in a pandemic, and 2 days ago I got a hand in the mail. And I was shocked because I couldn't use that hand like, you know, a year ago. But I was like, what is going on? Why do I have Joe Jonas's hand? What are you doing with Expedia?
Oh, wonderful segue. I have a lot of single friends. You know, I'll keep my eye out for you. What I will say is the Expedia project and the collaboration has been a blast. It was a lot of fun to work with them. I 3D printed my hand, which I've never done. And that was a new experience for me. But the cool thing is it was the idea of having people feel more comfortable traveling and getting out there. And sometimes we need a hand to hold while we're flying or on a train, plane, automobile, whatever it may be. Anyway, you can put it on your mantle or you can take it with you, whatever you want. But I'm really excited to have this little hand to hold.
I meant I was going to take it on a flight.
Obviously, that's what he was talking about, Joe. I don't know what you were thinking, but that's what we were thinking. Now, I have to say, I showed my husband a TikTok video that you posted because I feel like he's a certain age now. I want to keep him looking young and good. And I see Sophie wants to keep you looking young and good. Is this her jade rolling your face? And are you now stealing her jade roller to get you ready for the tour?
No, that's rich people foreplay.
Yeah, I think it's like it's something over here right now. Rich people foreplay. Well, you know that jade roller thing is really nice. I'm all about it. She has a lot of little tricks and tips that she has that I was like, let me try that. I'm definitely down to try it all. But I'll be taking that on tour. That'll be on my rider.
Joe, next time y'all have date night, have her break out the gua sha. Ask Sophie for a gua sha and post it on TikTok, and then we'll see how it goes.
Okay, as long as your husband does it as well, I'm down. We'll try that again.
Oh, he does.
Thank you so much, Joe. Don't forget, we're at 10 UCP, so you can go ahead and send those tickets and send your single friend, and you know, just send everything over here. I'll just intercept it.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Fine. Sounds good.
Coming
See you guys.
Up,
Thank you.
Tiffany Haddish lands a career-changing new gig. Is she taking over for Ellen? Stick around and find out.
Welcome back. It's time for today's Hollywood Minute. Tiffany Haddish will star as fashion-forward track and field superstar Florence Griffith Joyner. FloJo was a sports icon in the 80s, winning 3 gold medals at the 88 Olympics. She died in 1998 at the age of 38 following an epileptic seizure. Tiffany's training for the role with Florence's widower and former coach, Al Joyner. You can now get up close with Princess Diana's iconic wedding gown from 1981. It's on display at Kensington Palace, and the taffeta-ruffled white dress with 25-foot sequin-encrusted train will be there until January of next year. Seth Meyers and his wife ran into Beyoncé at SNL's 40th anniversary party, and it was totally awkward. He shared the hilarious story on The Kelly Clarkson Show.
I was doing the excuse me and then just came like, you know, my face came like this close to Beyonce. And our eyes met and I just was like, pretty cool party, right? And she said, yeah. And then we just kept going. Like the momentum took us away. And my wife said, wow, you really, really killed that interaction.
That cannot be your opening line to Beyonce. And that, my friends, is today's Hollywood Minute. I caught up with Lisa Kudrow along with her feel-good co-star, Mae Martin. Lisa revealed what it was really like singing with Lady Gaga for the Friends reunion.
I love Smelly Cat. It's one of my favorite songs. You mind if I...
Oh, please.
I don't know how I would handle singing with Lady Gaga, but you handled it great. I want to know... What would Phoebe think of Lady Gaga's Phoebe-inspired look?
Oh, yeah, what would Phoebe think? Yeah, great, that she looked great.
Smelly cat, smelly cat, it's not your fault.
Were you nervous at all to perform with her? Because I imagine that's probably one of the dream performers for your song. I mean,
I was very nervous. Yeah, my throat closed the day before and I didn't know what was going to happen. That's all right.
We have such a bond from this show.
When you guys get together like this, is there like any awkward kind of reunion moment or is it just like old times?
No, it's like old times, except the last time was without cameras. So it was really like old times.
Now, Lisa, I have to ask you, do you feel in your heart like there will ever be another reunion, not like a we got together for Thanksgiving reunion that we only see on Instagram?
I don't know. Courtney said, you know, this feels like the last time this will ever happen, and I think she's right.
So Friends might be over, but if you want more of Lisa, check out season 2 of Feel Good on Netflix.
Well, here I go.
I mean, it's fine. It's rehab, you know?
We'll see you in a few weeks. Hmm?
We're proud of you. Do you want to come in?
Oh, absolutely not.
Nick, we heard that Lisa was the ultimate dream casting to play your mom. What has it been like? And have you guys been able to build that bond, not just in front of our eyes as we're watching you on screen, but offset?
Yeah, we just Zoomed the other day. Yeah, I feel just like, I mean, I'm totally like still in awe about it. But then I just watched the Friends reunion and that sort of reignited my, like then I'm starstruck all over again for a minute, but then I get it.
I think what's amazing about this show is that it is so loved, but it's the end. Would you guys consider a season 3 or is this really done?
I think it's a very British thing as well to do short series and then walk away.
Feel Good season 2 is out now on Netflix. Up next, we're unpacking all the drama on Shaws of Sunset with MJ. She is joining us live and Monique is about to have a heart attack because she loves that show, y'all.
Yes! Mike has a lot of unprotected texts.
The whole reason you're not getting along with Mike is because of that bitch.
I had a whole entire baby and you didn't show up.
They've all met champs and I haven't.
He wants to drop the restraining order.
He's a malignant tumor of a human.
It was me. I wanted to get rid of you.
The drama has been nonstop on Shaws of Sunset this season, and here to talk about it is MJ Javid, everybody.
You're so cute. Oh,
you look
so damn good.
Hi, ladies. Beautiful. So good to be here.
You look unbelievable.
So I DM'd or texted Nina Parker. Can you ask me what I'm wearing, please?
Okay, MJ, who are, you wearing?
Nina Parker! So, yes, you were just asking me, does she know? And I said, I'm gonna be on Daily Pop. Can I wear Nina Parker? And she was like, thanks for telling me like 20 hours in advance.
It looks amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
Look, I have to ask you because you are good at being the peacemaker on the show. We've seen you put relationships back together we thought never could happen.
Yeah.
But your husband and Reza hate each other so much. How the hell are you gonna put your best friend and your man back together?
In the beginning, it was hard because I just led by my own emotions. I wanted to talk to Reza and I reached out and we had this incredible like connection. We felt amazing about it. And then I realized that I completely isolated Tommy. And Tommy was not like he threw his ring. So he was like not okay with it. But that was a long time ago. And now we're like, I really believe in my heart that I'm so optimistic. And even if it's unrealistic, this is my goal, is for us to like do this again. For Tommy and Reza to be able to like, because it's really important.
It's really hard. Now I heard you guys are ready for baby number 2.
Yes, and I've loved watching your journey from season 1. So have you guys narrowed down and made a decision about surrogacy and the surrogate?
Well, I can't carry.
Because you almost died last time?
Yeah.
Can we just point that out?
Yeah. So, oh my God, I just had like PTSD flashback because I was here kind of after.
Yes!
It was like one of the first things. So, and congratulations.
Thank you. Speaking of planning. Thank you.
I don't have a definitive answer. And the reason why is because nothing is guaranteed, right? So if you find the surrogate and you implant an embryo, it might not take. I don't, with my son, God bless him, he's not watching, but hopefully you are. Well, hopefully you are. Somebody in the house turned it on. I'm so focused on like being good to him and figuring out not to screw that up. And he's, you know, talking and running and going into school. But yes, at the right time.
Yeah.
At the right time, when we can handle it. I don't think we can handle it right now.
Wait, yeah.
Can I ask you a question about sex?
Oh.
Well, I have to, because I feel like you keep it so real and you're so honest. And I know this is a conversation that like every pregnant woman dreads having. It's really, from what I've been told, a little challenging post baby.
You don't have sex for a while, honey. You don't have sex for a while.
No, I want to know.
A really
Morgan and I talked about
time.
This before too, because
anyone who, in my opinion, who thinks they're getting it the same way as before baby are completely lying to you.
But is it a mental thing or do you feel like it's a physical thing? Because I feel like, you know, I just had a surgery that was kind of sort of ish, like a tear in the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think 90% of mine is mental.
So if you, like, do you hear about people who don't have sex on their wedding night?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they had such a long day.
Yeah.
Every day is like that with a baby times 100. Oh. So you're exhausted mentally. You're not in that same sexy space. Forget about, like, oh, she had a C-section, she had a, you know, almost died, or she had a vaginal or whatever. It's also... the vibe is all about the baby, this beautiful new baby, this beautiful thing you're trying to struggle to keep it alive. Is he burping? Is he breathing? Is he doing this? Is he, you know, what is he doing? Is he safe? So you're not really in that same lane, you know? And it's not that easy. You have to make a big, big effort to change lanes.
Oh, no, you definitely got to start scheduling sex.
Oh, God, that sounds horrible.
The sound of that makes my...
skin crawl.
Speaking of somebody who probably has to schedule a lot of sex, Gonessa is now polyamorous.
Yes.
Congratulations. Do you think Gonessa should have been polyamorous this whole time, or do you think she's going through a phase?
Okay, so what's so cute about our lives right now is that 10 years ago, Gonessa was like, I'm getting married, I want to have babies.
I remember.
I was like, I'm never getting married, I'm never having babies, and here we are at the opposite, right? So I think she 100% should have tried to get the life that she wanted, and she did, and then now she pivots, and she is, you know, thriving in full pivot mode and figuring it out, you know?
Happy. You guys, we love you. Thank you so much for coming. We are obsessed with you. And watch Shaw's The Sunset Sundays on Bravo. After the break, easy to make family-friendly snacks. The best part, it'll keep your kids busy all summer long. We've got the recipes. You don't want to miss them.
I hope y'all are ready because we've got an easy and delicious way to keep your kids busy over summer break. I don't know what just happened. Here to show some family favorite snacks is Chef Ryan Scott.
Yes! Thank you. All three of you clapping. I appreciate it. Go ahead, open the segment, say something.
I'm not saying a word.
This is gonna be a really cool food segment. So this has a little bit of summer. This involves the kids. My book just came out. It's been a top seller, blew my mind. I got a call. We have been dominating the boards when it comes to book sales, so I'm so stoked. But it's resonating because it's COVID-friendly. I wrote this during COVID, y'all, so it is a fun one. And we're gonna do a little mashup. We're gonna make some cookies.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. And we're also gonna do my salami slam dunk rolls.
So. Okay, cool. Perfect. But before we start, you guys, that QR code is at the bottom. If you want the recipes to what we're making today, scan that thing. It's gonna pop up for you. Let's do this.
All right, let's do it. All right, so y'all, here's what we're gonna do. This is a salami slam dunk roll, and we're gonna just take a little bit of cream cheese.
Okay.
Mm. Now, inside the cream cheese has sun-dried tomatoes.
Ooh.
Now, if you guys don't like salami and want prosciutto, you want turkey, you want any, now you just take it like this, Liliana, and you put it right in the middle.
Okay.
Yes. And put it right in the middle of the salami. And the cool thing about this is no cook. This is stuff you can get at the store.
Totally.
Oh, you're gonna do the whole, you're making a pizza over there.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's not how he did it.
No, it's
you
good.
You just put it in the middle.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, got it.
By the way, sitting in the green room watching you guys, this is the best show in the world.
Thank
I'm just
you.
Gonna say that.
Thank you. Okay, as I'm making this, can I ask you a question that every parent of a picky eater is thinking? How do you get picky kids to try new things?
Here's one thing, and especially, let me tell you, because the newborn coming. When kids are born, start taking things like basil.
Okay.
Go like this and put it in front of your newborn's face and let them smell basil. Let them smell
cooking.
And Liliana, the first time that your baby tries something 6 months into eating normal food, it won't be the first time their mind actually tried it.
I love that trick.
It's a little introduction of letting the mind feed the food and so whatnot. All right, y'all.
Okay, and then you just wrap it up,
now just roll this whole thing, wrap it up and stab it.
Oh, somebody's from California. Rolled that thing like no one's business.
All right, so we roll this up. It's no cook. You take a little bit of mozzarella ball on a skewer.
Mm-hmm.
Justin, you're like getting down, like hungry.
I'm
like
really getting into it.
All right, so then you skewer the top of this.
Okay.
And here's the cool thing about it. You take a little of my homemade Italian dressing. We all have memories with food. There's always one thing that triggers a memory about family. Italian dressing from a jar as a kid was memories for me. So you make this from scratch, put it right over the top of this little bite here.
I'm just gonna drizzle the pre-made ones.
Yeah, the pre-made ones are all cute. All right, you all. Take a little bite on the corner. The pepperoncini, the basil, the sun-dried tomato. Mm-hmm. And remember, if you want turkey, prosciutto, pastrami, switch it up.
You can do it with any of them.
What do you think? What do you think? Good?
Good.
I love it, but I'm a sneaker.
I'm not eating these right now because, but it smells delicious. Okay, I will eat a mozzarella ball, though.
All right, you guys, pull them out. Here we go.
Yes!
All right. We are ready to officially try to make cookies in the morning. Yes, you win. All right, there we go. So here's what we're gonna do. I want you, so these are my version of like kitchen sink. Try one of these. Just take a bite on the front. Just have a little coffee.
We're breaking the food rules. Usually they don't let us eat it until we've made it, but we're gonna eat first.
Don't forget that. Yes. So here's this mashup. During COVID, we couldn't go to the store all the time. We couldn't get what we want. So this has butterscotch chips, potato chips, pretzels, rice cereal, cornflakes. So here's what you do. Start with the sugar first. The brown sugar.
Always sugar first.
Yes, always sugar first because you're creaming it. And then light sugar. This is my mom's method. She would always go a little brown and a little white.
Oh, I like your mom.
I'm just literally soft pitching you everything.
Literally, best guest ever. Okay, then?
Then take the butter.
All this butter?
All this butter. And this is actually, Lillian, this is not actually a lot of butter. So,
looks like a lot of butter. COVID.
You wear tight pants like me, you have half the butter, okay?
It's fine, I'm pregnant. Let's go. Right. More butter.
So now what you do, you always cream the butter and the sugar together.
Okay. So once we've creamed, can I start adding the kitchen sink?
Sure. Once you cream, add one egg. So this whole thing comes together. You cream in one egg. Look at this one over here. Eat a cookie, do a little mix.
Okay.
Do a little yoga pose at the same time, okay? So you cream it.
Okay, I'm creaming.
Once this all comes together, my friends, you add the flour, a little bit of baking soda, and then this is the hodgepodge. If you're at the store or you're at home and you don't have cornflakes or bran cereal, mix it up. But my favorite is coconut, so throw coconut in there.
I love the coconut,
Here's my trick. I like corn cereal that goes in here. It gives a crunch on top.
I can
feel the crunch in here.
Are these potato chips?
Yes,
We're adding potato chips.
This is like
cookies?
The pregnancy cookie. It's the best
this
cookie.
This is the best thing I've ever had. I love a pregnancy cookie.
Right? You guys, we are out of time. I'm going to let them mix this.
Mix it, girl. Mix it.
Pick up a copy of Chef Ryan's cookbook, the No Fuss Family Cookbook. Simple recipes from everyday life. Out now. Make that batter for me so I can bring it home.
Books for both of you.
We'll be right back.
Here, this could be a tray.
This is good.
So good.
I want to eat the finished cookie. Thank you so much. I keep on falling
in. I always hope that people would love it.
Sometimes I love you.
People come up to me and they tell me how they feel like I've written for them, or I've written what they're going through. Or my video describes a situation that they've been through or felt. And I think that's what strikes a chord. I started singing when I was 4. I started playing the keys when I was 7. And I was in my first group when I was 9. And I think that experience really propelled me towards wanting to just learn more and more.
So what's hard to believe is that song came out 20 years ago. What's really hard to believe is that looks like her today.
I was thinking the same thing.
Not a thing has changed.
The same thing.
She's richer, but that face
is the same, you guys. Same. What a beautiful song. Every time I hear it, it takes me right back to that.
Yeah. And her voice, the power of her voice is next level.
And it's one of those songs where no matter where you are, when the minute it comes on, you pretend you're Alicia Keys.
Yes! Yeah.
Am I wrong?
The only time I'm not okay with it is when it comes on during karaoke and you're like, don't try, girl.
Don't do it. You guys, we had such a great week. Monday on Daily Pop, the new Bachelorette is telling us what's really going down in that fantasy suite this season. And Mark Consuelos reveals how he and Kelly keep it hot. Set that DVR. We're going to be back next week. Come on, guys. It's Friday.